Well, the Lord has us in a series called All in the Family. All in the Family. Not, we had the Archie Bunker thing a few weeks ago. No, this is All in the Family of God. We are the children of God because we're in Christ Jesus, and we are all in the same family. We're brothers and sisters. And before I jump into this next message in this series, how many of you handed out invitation cards this past week? How many of you did that? You don't have to raise your hand. I probably shouldn't even ask. Okay. I want to encourage you to get out in the lobby soon after the service. I want you to grab at least two invitation cards. They say you're invited on one side, and on the other side it has a map and it shows when and where we meet. I want to challenge you to hand out two cards a week to people who are lost and lonely, to people who are not connected, actively engaged in the family of God, in the body of Christ. And there are plenty of them out there, believe me. Please do that. It's God's heart. It's God's desire that you would do that. Remember what we said last week, if Jesus were walking on this earth right now, He would be inviting people into the family of God, inviting people into the gatherings of the church. He just would, because that's where people need to be, around the family of God. So let's do that today. Let's grab some of those cards and let's go invite some folks. Now today, as we continue to explore God's heart for placing the lonely in His family, we're going to talk about hospitality. Hospitality. I found a quote this week from Max Lucado. He has this to say. He says, hospitality opens the door to uncommon community. It's no accident that hospitality and hospital come from the same Latin word, for they both lead to the same result, healing. When you open your door to someone, you're sending this message that you matter to me and to God. You may think that you're saying, come over for a visit, but what your guest hears is, I'm worth the effort. Hospitality. Hospitality. When the lost and the lonely visit our church, Evident Life, when they come to our family gatherings, what will they experience and what will they hear? My heart's cry and deep desire is what they would hear is, you're worth the effort. You're worth the effort. Hebrews 13:2 instructs us, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. When you read this passage, I mean, I imagine many of your minds are going back to Genesis 18 and to that episode where Abraham is entertaining three strangers who happen to be angels. And so that's why we're going to be in Genesis 18 today. Turn with me to Genesis 18, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, and he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. Now, we understand what the heat of the day is. We live in Arizona. The heat of the day, when you're out in the heat of the day and there may be a little breeze, what that breeze feels like is a furnace blowing right in your face. We understand that in the heat of the day that you're hot and you're probably tired if you're outside. And what you want to be doing in the heat of the day is finding some shade, finding some breeze, and just chilling out and relaxing. Here's what happens in Abraham's life on that day as he is hanging out in the heat of the day. Verse 2, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. Now when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. And he said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I go and bring you a morsel of bread so that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on since you've come to your servant. So they said, do as you've said. They basically said, that sounds great. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, 3 seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And then Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took the curds and the milk and the calf that he'd prepared, and he set it before his guests. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. I've heard it said that hospitality is the process of making friends out of strangers. James Cox, in the Minister's Manual, says that you and I tend to offer hospitality to only a limited number of people. Persons whom we already know, mostly relatives and a few close friends. But in Abraham's time, hospitality was extended to whomever needed it. Strangers and acquaintances alike. In fact, in its original form, Cox says, hospitality combines two separate words, one meaning friend and the other meaning stranger. So, from the beginning of its usage, hospitality has carried with it the idea of making friends out of strangers. Now, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Hospitality, making friends out of strangers. And in the example of Abraham, we get a really good idea of what biblical or what Christian hospitality really looks like. So today, here's what I want us to do as the family of God. I want us to examine how we can implement 4 principles of Christian hospitality right here at Evident Life Church. 4 principles that we see Abraham exhibiting in this exchange with these strangers. You ready to go? Now, I understand that in many ways I'm preaching to the choir. We've got amazing people in this church who love God and love others. So many people, I'm looking right now, so many of you have opened up your houses to people, even had people, you know, live with you for periods of time. You've given of yourselves and of your possessions and whatever else is needed in order to bless others. So it's so many ways I'm preaching to the choir. But I believe God wants to underscore some things. He wants to open up our eyes. He wants us to have a greater vision, even how, as the body of Christ, the family of God, we can implement some principles that will take hospitality to another level, to what I would say to a biblical level that we see represented here by Father Abraham. Everyone wants to sing, had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Come on, Linda. 4 principles of Christian hospitality. Let's go. Principle number 1. Hospitality involves greeting. Hospitality involves greeting. Back to Genesis 18, verse 2. When Abraham saw them, these strangers, what did he do? Remember, it's the heat of the day. What did he do? He ran from the tent door to meet them, to greet them, and bowed himself to the earth. What do we learn from this? What we see is that when a guest arrives at the doors of Evident Life Church, of our family home here at Evident Life Church, this must be our response. Just like Abraham, going above and beyond just a simple handshake or kind of that obligatory smile, nod of the head, hey, yeah, what's up? You know, going beyond that, like Abraham, our reaction needs to be passionate. It needs to be sincere. It needs to be bathed in genuine care and excitement when all of a sudden a stranger shows up at our door, just like happened in the life of Abraham on that day. See, Abraham didn't assume that somebody else was going to run and greet them and take care of these strangers. I mean, Abraham, he was the big cheese, man. He was the big man. He was Abraham. He was in charge of hundreds of people, maybe even thousands. He could have thought, hey, I'm sure somebody else is going to take care of these guys. I'm going to stay here in the door of my tent where I got some shade and a little bit of breeze and let somebody else do the greeting. But he didn't. Abraham, it says, he ran to them. He ran to them and he greeted them. He even bowed down. I mean, that's just a sign of honor. That's like going above and beyond kind of greeting. The Apostle Paul further underscores this importance of hospitality. Romans 15. I'm just going to look only at verse 7 right here. Paul says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. He's taken it to another level. That's one thing. Everyone's like, oh, I love reading the New Testament. That's great, man, because that's God taking it all to a whole nother level. And that's what Paul's doing here with hospitality. He's saying, as Jesus has welcomed us into his family, and he went pretty far to welcome us. I mean, his greeting was pretty amazing as he goes all the way to the cross. And he humbles himself to that, and he's willing to walk that road and that path to the cross to welcome us, to greet us into his family. As Jesus has welcomed us into his family, Paul is saying, we must welcome others into ours. And when we welcome people into the family of God the way Jesus has welcomed us into his family, Paul says that glorifies God. We have the opportunity to glorify God by greeting people. I mean, that's pretty amazing. We often think, oh, I got to go to, you know, to Africa or South America or Asia on this crazy mission trip where there's no running water and all of this kind of stuff. And God calls us to those things from time to time. I've been on a few of those. Looking at Samantha back there, who's about ready to go big time to India that way. And he'll call us on those to glorify him. He's glorified in that. But Paul is saying, when we greet one another the way that Jesus has greeted us and welcomed us into his family, when we do it with that kind of sincerity, that kind of excitement and eagerness and willingness, that it glorifies God. We can all glorify God every time we get together by greeting one another, and especially those who are strangers, our guests. Hospitality is no joke. It's not one of those kind of optional things. You know, we've heard the gift of hospitality, and there are definitely people in this room right now who have a supernatural, miraculous gift, amazing grace poured out on them for hospitality. But that doesn't mean the rest of us just check out and let the other folks do it who, you know, have this extra gifting of it. It's like saying, hey, this person really has the gift of prayer, so I'm just going to let them pray and I'm never going to pray and never going to talk to God. No, no. We're supposed to pray. And we're supposed to show hospitality, every single one of us. Jesus reminds us that hospitality means that we're others focused. Matthew 5, verse 47. Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is saying that, and if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than the others? Do not even the Gentiles, he's talking unbelievers in this scenario, do not only the unbelievers, the lost, don't they do the same? Christian hospitality is going to have us have a completely different outlook wherever we go. Human nature and our flesh nature is, man, when we walk in a room, we want to find the people that we know the most, that we're the most comfortable with, and we want to go right over to them, and we just want to be like, oh, yeah, and not look around because we might see somebody else that we don't know, get eye contact, and then what do? Oh, we just give the old smile and a little nod, and then we get back. That's what our flesh wants to do. And that's not bad, that we want to talk to people that we love and that we know. But God is calling us to something greater. He's saying, look, you've got my spirit now. And I want you to have my heart for others in such a way that, man, when you walk in a room, you're looking for the one who's lonely. You're looking for the one who feels out of place. You're looking for the one that you don't recognize because you want them to feel welcome. Anybody can look for their best friend and go and just focus on them. That's what Jesus is saying. Step out of our comfort zone, out of our own little world, and bless others. Christian hospitality. It's all good. It's all good. Believe me, when you do this, you're going to live a blessed life. And you're going to see and experience a whole lot of God. When you come into agreement, when we come into agreement with God's ways and His calling to Christian living, man, that's when we come alive. And that's when we get to see things that nobody else gets to see. Only those that are walking with Christ and doing life His way. All right, number one, hospitality involves greeting. Number two, hospitality involves serving. Look, what did Abraham do? First thing he did was he sincerely greeted these strangers, these guests. Then he takes it to a whole nother level and he serves them. Verses 4 and 5 of Genesis 18. Let a little water be brought. Wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree while I go serve you, while I bring you some food. Hospitality means that we take on the role of a servant, just like Abraham did. Take on the role of a servant. And so as functioning members of God's family here at Evident Life Church, we don't come to our family gatherings looking for what we can get. Rather, we come looking for what we can give. And even more importantly, we're looking for whom we can serve. When we walk in a room, we're not looking, what am I going to get out of it? I officiated a wedding, and I walked in the ballroom yesterday, and you know how it is, man. You look, and all of a sudden, you see that whole smorgasbord of food over there against the wall. You're like, whoa, what's over there? And you got all these people over here you know you need to say hi to, and your flesh is like, but check out the food, man. What is it? What is it? What is it? And I had to fight that and go, I can't do that. And go, oh, hey, how you doing? I don't know you, but God is good. And, you know, this is a great day. And when we walk in a room, we go beyond approaching our time with other people from what we can get and going into what we can give and whom we can serve. This is Christian hospitality. This is the new way of living that we get to be part of. In other words, it's better to give than to receive. You've all heard that. And it really is. You know that it's better to give than to receive. And in giving, we always receive. We put our personal preference aside and we think of the preciousness of others and the preciousness of our guests that God's entrusting to us, and we serve them. We really got to have this perspective. You know, as we're family and as we have guests coming in, we need to have this perspective. What do they need and how can I meet those needs? Seriously, when we come together on Sundays or Tuesdays or any other gathering that we have, your life group gatherings, whatever it is, you're part of the family. And so anytime you see somebody new, you need to be thinking, wow, what kind of needs do they have right now? And how can I meet those needs? With that in mind, I just want to bring up a subject here. We've had many people come and be guests of our gatherings here at Evident Life Church. They've come and then they've left. And many people who have come and who have left have had a need that we just haven't had we haven't felt the grace or the calling to meet. But as a leadership team, we're feeling the compulsion to begin to meet a need of many lost and lonely that God is going to be bringing into our church family for us to minister to. And that's in the area of ministering to families, and most in particular, ministering to children. There are many people in this church family that have the calling, that have the grace, and the desire to have your children with you during the whole service. And that's what God's put in you, and that's just something that He's even graced you with. But then there are many who come as guests with needs that don't have that calling, that don't have that vision, that don't have that grace, and they have a need to be cared for. And as a church family, as we're advancing, as we are looking to go and grow the family of God and bring people into God's family, we're going to step out in this area of meeting the needs of people. And so we're going to be, in the fall, launching a children's ministry to serve those in the congregation, in the family right now, and those that God's bringing into the family who desire to take advantage of a children's ministry for their children during this time of the sermon. And so that's an area that we're going to be stepping out in as a church family. Why? Because we want to serve others. Because we want to show Christian hospitality. You know, it's not going to be some mandatory thing. We're not changing. You know, we love having kids in here with us. We're not changing that aspect of who we are, but we are going to serve people. And we're going to reach out and we're going to help those. And we're going to come alongside of people. And we're going to get God's heart of Christian hospitality in that. Because, listen, here's the deal. We can smile all we want at people. But hospitality involves meeting needs, serving others. And even if we don't have those same needs, meeting those needs. You hear what I just said? Even if we don't have that need, we still meet that need. Look at what Abraham did. Abraham didn't have the need that day to have a feast. But his guests come to his house and they had a need for shade, shelter, water, and food. And Abraham, not having the same need, saw their need and he met their need. He met them where they were and what they needed. And he served them in that. Christian hospitality. There are going to be many opportunities for us to walk into that in the future. It's exciting. It's a very exciting way to live, looking for the needs of others and then meeting them. Now check this out. Notice how Abraham also, he gave his guests the best seats. He gave his guests the best seats. In the heat of the day, where does everybody want to be? They want to be in the shade and they want to be where the wind is blowing, where the breeze is blowing, underneath the tree. And where did Abraham lead his guests? Where did he direct his guests? To the best seat in the house. Everybody's looking around. You know, it's been really interesting the last, what has it been? Is this the sixth week that we're in here? It's something like that. Pretty amazing. And just watching everybody changing seats and trying to check out, you know, the new sanctuary. And do I want to sit over here? Well, this is the loudest section over here. And not just with people, but literally the loudest section with where the speakers are. And that's because Dee Brown is just, you know, a rock star. She loves it right in front of the speakers. And then this section over here, it's really cold back in this southwest section over here, because the air conditioning units over there work overtime or whatever. And it's been interesting watching everybody kind of jockey around for where they want to sit. And then you find your place and you get comfortable and you go back to the same place, and that's okay. Man, that's very normal. It's very natural. There's nothing wrong with that. But Christian hospitality is going to provoke us to keep our eyes open for our guests and to make sure that there's room for them and to make sure that they're comfortable and to make sure that they have the best seats in the house, just like Abraham did with his guests. So we're going to do something else too. We're going to add an usher team to our welcome team. We're going to get some ushers involved so that we can best seat this room. So that we can make sure that large families have a place to sit. So that we can make sure those people who like to jump up and down and sing really loud and hear the music loud, man, they're in the right place. To make sure that if somebody comes in and they're like, you know, I just like it a little bit quieter, man, we know where to put them. To make sure that we're giving our guests the right seats and the best seats so that they're served by the family of God. So we're going to have an usher team. Pretty wild, huh? Wow, we're growing up. Look out. So number one, hospitality. Christian hospitality involves greeting. Christian hospitality, number two, involves serving. What are their needs? Let's meet them. Number three, hospitality involves pursuing. Abraham was concerned about the continued care of his guests. I mean, the amount of food that he prepared was off the charts. He's talking about three guys coming, needing to eat. And he prepares a whole calf. And then he asks for flour to be made out of these three seahs of flour, which actually they estimate it's about 33 quarts of flour. It makes nearly 50 pounds of baked pita bread. That's what they say. You know who they are. Maybe not. That's the word. I mean, he prepared a whole lot of food. Why? Because he wasn't concerned just about their need right then. He wanted to make sure he had enough to give them along the rest of their journey. He wanted to make sure that they would continue to be cared for. Not just a one-time, hi, okay, cool, bye, I'm out of there, I'm done. No, he wanted to make sure his guests were taken care of for the long haul. And we've got to have this perspective too, of ongoing, continued care for our guests. So the welcoming and the greeting continue at the conclusion of our service. Not just when people walk in. But man, it really starts to happen when we're finished with a service. And we're getting to know our guests. We're getting to know the lost and the lonely. And we're finding out all about them. And we're inviting them out to lunch. And we're beginning to invite them to do life with us. Remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago? Inviting them to be part of our lives. Inviting them into our lives. Developing real relationship with them that's ongoing. That's not just a drive-by kind of thing. But real life engagement. I know it's so foreign to the world that we live in today, but the world we live in today is a far cry from the heart of God. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it is. And God's heart is that we would engage with people and to continue to pursue them. So we got to check in on folks after we meet them at our gatherings. We've got to invite them to other church family gatherings. Invite them out for lunch. Invite them over for a meal. Got to pray for them. Disciple them. Serve them. We got to continue to connect with them and pursue them. What's really neat is this is exactly what God does with us. You know that He continues to pursue us? Continues, I just told the groom and the bride this yesterday. You've been pursuing each other. That's why you're here at the altar getting married. But you got to keep pursuing one another. Every single day you've got to be in pursuit of one another. We have to continue to pursue those that God brings into our lives. And God continues to pursue us. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. That's God pursuing you. Not just once, not just until you come into His family, but all the days of your life, God is pursuing you. Number four, Christian hospitality involves preparing. And I know it's odd that I'm throwing this at the end. Usually, you know, preparing is at the beginning, right? But I'm putting this on the end for a purpose, so just hear me out here. Abraham was in the habit of welcoming guests. I mean, look at how he was ready. He was in the habit. He was resourced. He was ready to show hospitality at any time. His guests arrive. He knows what to do. He knows how to handle himself. And he knows how to meet their need. And he's resourced to meet their need. So he lifts his eyes. He sees the three men. He's prepared. And he responds quickly. The state of our preparation is going to determine the effectiveness of our hospitality. It just will. If we're not prepared for people, if we're not prepared for guests, then we're not going to be able to show proper hospitality. You know that in the real world in your own life. I mean, if things are such a wreck or whatever around the house, you know, if the Lord brings somebody to your doorstep, you may not be in a condition to be able to welcome them in and to meet their needs. The state of our preparedness is going to determine really the effectiveness in our ability to properly show hospitality and love to others. It says in John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" As I was thinking about this preparation, the Lord reminded me this exact thing, that God is preparing a place for us right now. The Lord is doing that. He's preparing a place, putting things in place. He's getting ready for you. He's getting ready for the day when you're coming into the fullness of His kingdom, when you're reunited with Him. In that way, He's preparing a place for you in eternity. He's serving you in that way. He's getting ready. He's not just, well, whatever, you know, they said the prayer, so it's all going to work out. And when they get here, it's going to be good enough because it's going to be heaven. It's going to be a lot better than earth. So whatever, it'll be good enough. And they've just got to kind of fit into what we're doing. No, He is preparing a place for you. He's getting things ready. And so we've got to do the same for others. We've got to understand that Christian hospitality begins with preparation. We got to put things in place so that when the Lord blesses us and entrusts us with guests, with the lost and lonely, that we're ready. We're ready for them. I just want to conclude just by running through this real world example. Just want to make it really clear because I think this will hit home and everyone's going to understand it. When you have guests over to your house, what do? First of all, you prepare. If we're going to invite somebody over, you know, I'm just looking at our friends, the Donaldsons, right here. When we invite the Donaldsons over, man, we get ready for them. We clean house. And there are days when it needs a lot more than others, believe me. We prepare, we clean, we sweep the entryway, or we blow it off with the blower, you know, all that. And we make sure that we have refreshments. We make sure that we have something for them to eat. They're coming over after dinner. We make sure that there's some kind of dessert and that we show them how much we care and how much we love them. How do we do that? By preparing. This is the other thing that we do. Get ready for this one. We make sure that we're home before they get there. That's another way that we prepare. We make sure that when they arrive, that we're there so that we can greet them. And so that they're not just hanging out wondering, now what do I do? There's nobody here. We were invited over. At least I thought we were. Maybe this is the wrong day. Maybe this is the wrong place. Maybe. You see where I'm going with this? I mean, it's real, guys. But if you're not here before the guest gets here, you're not going to be greeting them. I'll let the Holy Spirit do the rest. So we prepare for a guest. We prepare for the Donaldsons. Then we greet them. We meet them at the door. We say hi. We give them a hug. If we have anybody else over in the house, we make sure that they're introduced and that they feel comfortable. They feel at home. We give them some refreshments. Everyone's like, we want to go over to the Joneses. Because we also sit you down on some really comfy couches. We have a little bit of nice music playing in the background. Of course, there may be some kids running around and somebody banging on the drums, but that's all part of the beauty and the ambiance of it. You know, that's the reality of it. But man, we greet them. We greet them. We're excited that they're there. And we serve them. Maybe even make a meal for them. Take care of them. Make sure that they're taken care of. And then we pursue them. We don't just drop our relationship with them after that, saying, well, we did our thing. We're done. No. Man, we make sure that they're part of our lives moving forward. Checking in. How are they doing? Man, when we've sat, we've chatted with them, when we find out what's going on in their life, we're going to make sure that we follow up. Hey, man, I'm praying for your son. I'm praying for your daughter. We're going to continue our relationship. Continue to pursue them and care for them. This is just real life. This is just how real people live and do life with others. And as the family of God, we got to be like real people. Not a destination place where everybody goes and sits and they see a show and they go like that, and then boom, we're out of here. We're a family. This is the message God's had for us. We're a family. And so we need to treat others like we would treat any guest that's going to come over to our house. This is Christian hospitality, making people feel at home. And I know some people are looking like, well, Abraham was entertaining angels. And believe me, if I had angels coming over to my house, I would make sure I was there before they got there, and I would be prepared, and I would make sure, you know, I was going to greet them and serve them and all of this. But I got something to remind everybody here. Those were angels. Sure. But we have the opportunity to show hospitality, to show God's love and care to people. People that Jesus hung on the cross for, that he was beaten for, that he bled for, that he died for. People. He didn't die for angels. He died for people. The very people that are wanting to come over here and just wanting to see the love of God. We have the opportunity to show Christian hospitality to the ones that God loves that much. And the Lord is entrusting us with that. This is no joke. This is no optional thing. I'm getting kind of preachy, but if you're a believer, you must show Christian hospitality in this way. Period. To not do that is to not know the love of God or to show the love of God. I wasn't going to go there, but I went there. Praise God. It's important is what I'm saying. This is important stuff. This is the grassroots. We could go off again, like I said before, into all kinds of theological things about end times and, you know, amillennium, premillennium. We could go all into all that kind of stuff. But if we don't get this right, none of that matters. Now, that does matter. But if we don't get love right, Jesus taught us that, didn't he? We got to get love right. And all this is love. This is just real, practical, rubber meets the road, love. So let's continue to grow in this area of Christian hospitality. And I want to say again, I'm preaching to the choir. This is an amazing church, amazing family. But we're going to have the opportunity to be stretched a little bit more in this and to step out even more and to just see what God does. It's going to be glorious. As we exit today, you're going to receive a handout. And it's going to be pointing you to important hospitality roles here at Evident Life Church. Places for you to exercise Christian hospitality. We have on here the welcome team, greeters and ushers. We need to add about six ushers and a couple more greeters on the team. We have a children's and nursery ministry. And Georgia Faircloth is going to be out in the lobby. She's going to be helping. She's already been helping myself and Velvet put together an organized children's ministry here to be able to serve and to meet the needs of people coming in. And she's been doing this for years. She's been involved in this for a long, long time. And she has a table out there, and she'd love to talk with you and to share some of the things that God's already been showing us, and would love to meet people who have any kind of heart or any kind of skills that can serve the children who are going to be coming in here. Even if it's just that you love crafts and you want to prepare things ahead of time for the kids when they come into their classes, whatever that might be. We have needs for people in that area to serve, to show hospitality, care, and love to others. Ministering prayer team. We're wanting to grow the ministering prayer team and to have you up front at the end of services, really ministering to the needs of people, bringing the power and the love of God into people's lives in that wonderful, important way. Talk with Tim Brooks. Also mark this down. The ministering prayer team, the worship ministry, the AV ministry, all of these things that serve others, that show love to others. So please grab one of these. I would ask that everyone would fill one of these out. Put your name on it. Check the boxes where you would like to get more information and just to show your interest. You're not committing to anything. You're just saying, you know what? I do want to step out in Christian hospitality. I do want to serve others. And so I'd at least like to get some more info on these areas, on how I can connect and be part of it. Man, this is real life. And this is where we get to step out and really live it and see God move and change people. Change people. Love changes people. It changed you. If you're in Christ Jesus, love changed you. Now we have the opportunity and the responsibility to show that love to others. And Christian hospitality is one important way that we're called to do it.